Hey, it's syndicated radio talk show host, author, singer, Al Cole, welcoming you to another edition of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. I come from CBS Radio. My shows are nationally syndicated, and I've helped pave the way to treating women, guys too, with the dignity that they deserve. And, hey, boy, my shows are aired on dignified networks, so why not? Like Apple. Apple's iTunes Radio Network, one of the biggest out there, airing CBS shows, Fox News, NPR, BBC, and C-SPAN, everything. And I'll tell you, not only that, but when you go to my website, it follows suit as well. You can hear my shows by way of my station page, the same Apple 24/7 stream that airs. And you can see some of the other people that I'm involved with. Arianna Huffington, the great founder of the Huffington Post, one of my alliances, and also the actress Dee Wallace, who starred in one of the biggest films ever, Steven Spielberg's E.T., The Extraterrestrial. She airs her show through my Apple stream for extra visibility of what she does. Her show is called Conscious Creation, comes up every single week on my Al Cole network, broadcasting network through Apple. And also, I'm a major media consultant. Now, some people are going to ask, what does that mean, Al? Major media consultant? You make it sound big. Well, it is big. The biggest way to get your name out there, to get your product or service out there, is really through the media. We've known that from time immemorial, even before there was a media to get it out to. The media is the message in many cases. And a lot of people don't know how to framework their messages in really gripping and succinct ways. Well, that's where I come in. I know how to help people with their core messaging. And I also know how to help people with professional networking, which means that they're not just dependent on the audience. No, they're working on the inside, making contacts with other professionals who can then help them out with, hey, their contact development as well. Utilizing other people's contacts in order to make money yourself and then pay people back with those proceeds in mutually serving agreements. All of that stuff. That's what I teach with my major media consulting. And if you like the message of it, well, you can email me at alcoleholic at gmail.com. You heard me right. That's alcoleholic at gmail.com. And I really want to thank my CBS radio listeners for coming up with that handle, alcoholic. Seems like from day one, my listeners have been saying, Al, we love what you're doing there, brother. In fact, we're hooked on it. We're alcoholics. And coming from CBS radio, I'm also a New York Times bestselling author with Chicken Soup for the Soul. Chicken Soup for the Soul is distributed by CBS's Simon & Schuster, so we keep it in the family that way. Coming up, a lady who comes from a family, as we all do, and she's approaching it in a little bit of a different way. Her name is Dr. Olga Lavelle, and she's going to talk about a book from a widow's point of view. Her book is called The New Normal, A Widow's Guide to Grief. Now, we've all been there, done that, people, even if we ain't widows. We have experienced grief in our lives. And you, my listening audience, you know that. There's some way, somehow, you can relate to Dr. Olga and what she's talking about with her book, The New Normal, A Widow's Guide to Grief. With widows, it's especially hard because many, many times, we live in a society where it's male-dominated. No, we get females out there more and more. 21st century, women are making more of an impact, but still, they are not treated in the same way, ultimately, as guys are. Men, they're not paid as much. They're, you know, not represented in the U.S. Congress the way that they should. All of this stuff, we know that. And yet, when a woman outlives a man, hey, and most women do, you know, then what is she going to do if she's been dependent on that man for so long? Now what does she do? Well, I'll tell you. women rise to the occasion, actually sometimes better than widowers, guys who lose, you know, their spouse. Well, she comes up with something that I think you're going to really appreciate. Everybody grieves differently. Well, we certainly do. And yet, we can all have that overlap of sensitivity to each other. We look forward to sensitivity on people of distinction and empathy, ways that we can, you know, commiserate with other people and say, look, I can identify with that. Yeah, that's making some sense. Even if it's not exactly the same situation that we've been through, we can make sense out of it. And Dr. Olga is going to make some sense here, big time, on people of distinction with her book, The New Normal, A Widow's Guide to Grief. And I want you to order that book at Amazon.com. Run there, order The New Normal, A Widow's Guide to Grief. And I will say that she was brought to my show by Parchment Global Publishing, one of the best in there for publishing around the world. And if you've got a book that you want to move, well, Parchment Global Publishing, they're your movers. So run to ParchmentGlobalPublishing.com. And let's welcome Dr. Olga to People of Distinction with Al Cole. Welcome, Dr. Olga. How are you today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Is it okay if I call you Dr. Olga? Or is that a...
Absolutely, yeah. It's okay. And thank you so much for inviting me to your show.
Yeah, my pleasure. We're going to talk it up here about the new normal and, you know, the things that you had to go through as a widow to express your grief and things that you did that maybe were different from other people, but then there's synergy in the end where you can help other people through different methods of grief. Let's talk about it. In your book, of course, you're portrayed as the widow. Give us a little bit of background there. Before you were a widow, what kind of relationship did you have with your husband at that point? And when you lost your husband, what kind of grief did you go through according to your book?
Okay, so I was married for 17 years and we had two daughters together and my husband had a son and so he was with us as well and he's older. And so we really had a good relationship, you know, we did the normal things, took kids to activities, socialized, you know, a normal marriage. You have your ups and downs as anyone does, but, you know, we always stuck together, supported each other, and he helped out a lot. So he did a lot of domestic tasks at home as well. So we really worked together. And, you know, we had these plans that we were going to grow old together and have grandchildren and actually, you know, be able to be a part of the grandchildren's lives and, you know, help look after them when the children needed babysitters because, you know, I'm Ukrainian, he was Italian, and as ethnics, that's what we do. So we were looking forward to that. And then one Easter, he just passed away. He had a heart attack just like that and passed away. So, and at that time, it was actually Easter Saturday when it happened. So on that day, that was it. My world fell apart, completely fell apart. And with, you know, it was such a shock. And instantly you think, what am I going to do? How are we going to live? How are we going to survive? You know, how am I going to tell the children they don't have a father anymore? Mm. All those sorts of things just come rushing to your head. Now, because I'm a clinical psychologist, lots of people are presumed, oh, okay, I've counseled people who've gone through grief and, you know, I would be able to deal with it. Mm. But when you get such a shock, no. The theories, I didn't even think about the theories. All I knew was that I was in survival mode,
yep.
Having to try to work things out. What are we going to do? How we were going to live? But at the same time, I needed to make the children feel secure that we were going to be okay. So I kept telling them that, even though I didn't have answers.
Right.
And I just didn't care about what the theory said or what you went through. I just decided that's it. I'm just going to throw myself into the grief, embrace it and experience it and see what happens. Because everybody is so different and you need to adjust to life without your loved one. You need to work things out of what's going to work for you, work for the children, to be able to keep moving forward.
Absolutely. And I like the way you put it. And, you know, the children, we have to do things for the children's sake and benefit as well. And when you bring that out in your grief process as a widow, you found extra strength, I believe, because now it's your children who you have to protect as well. Through the grief process, they're grieving for their father at that particular point. And that gives you an extra amount of strength to deal with the situation. I would think that that was part of it as well, getting that strength to deal with death, to help your children to deal with death as well. Is that right?
Oh, that's absolutely right. I instantly knew that, okay, I'm a mother. It's my job to support the children as well while I'm grieving and to help them out. And one of the things is a big fear of mine at the time was that the children wouldn't cope maybe. Maybe they'd get into drugs or alcohol or something else. And so to really make sure that I would minimize that risk, I really knew I had to support them. Children become very worried. They become insecure because they're worried. Oh, okay, if your husband's the main breadwinner, it's instantly, what are we going to do? How are we going to live? They're very concerned about the security. And not only that, one of the things is I did was normalize how they were feeling. I showed my emotions in front of them. Mm-hmm. I cried in front of them and let them know that that is normal for grief, that we do not always feel motivated to do things, and that's okay. You don't have to do them. But also, one of the things is it was important that we always spoke about their father. And we continue to do so. We talk about the funny things he did, or maybe the jokes he played, or something we found funny, or things that we remember we all did. That still comes up in conversation because that's their father. And they were 14 and 15 at the time, the girls, and his son was 25. But we always talk about him. It's part of them. And being a part of my husband's family, and we're very close still with them, is important because they need to understand their own identity and their father and their traditions that they may have followed and things we would have still done. So that relationship we continue, which I feel is very important.
Yes, it is.
And the other thing, it is very important. And the other thing is I made sure that they had a lot of memory keepsakes of their father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my day when we got married, it was all by video and things were done by video when they were little. Well, I had actually changed and got that transferred into DVDs.
Yeah.
So that they can actually always look at that and go back to that and see their father when they were growing up and things that they did.
Look at that. Life goes on even when it seems to end, people. Hey, it ain't over till it's over. And then even after that, life can still go on. Dr. Olga with some great information for you, my listening audience, through her book, The New Normal, A Widow's Guide to Grief. And it's available at Amazon.com. Going to turn a few more pages in your book, The New Normal, and I want to focus for a moment here on the title, The New Normal. Now, that's a double entendre. That could mean a couple of different things. It might mean more than two different things. The new normal for you and your children at that time. It could also mean that societally, we might be going through a new normal. Maybe we have had a new normal. Women outlive men, and there are more women than men anyway. And so when they outlive men, and they're there in more numbers than men anyway, and sometimes in a young age, it doesn't have to be an older age where you have lived your life with a certain man, you know, woman we're talking about, and going through that grief process as a widow. But some young women, teenage women particularly, they get pregnant, and then that's the normal. They're raising that child, or maybe multiple children, themselves. So that new normal could be a double entendre that way, Dr. Olga. Did you mean it to be a double entendre in that sense?
Well, yes, it's a new normal in the sense that you need to adjust to life. You need to adjust to life without your loved one. And when you're adjusting and when you're grieving, you will grieve for the rest of your life. But the intensity of the grief will reduce. And at different times, things will come back and you'll really, it will hit you really hard. But that's okay, because that's part of grief. And so in the book, I wanted to... you know, the aim was to show that there is no right or wrong way to grief. It's a unique personal journey, and there's no time frame. And it also all depends on the circumstances of your loved one's death. So whether it was sudden, or whether they were ill, or whether it was through some tragic circumstances. And that, with those sorts of circumstances, it will depend on how you will grieve. But ultimately, we did not choose for them to go. We did not choose for them to leave and to pass away. So we need to adjust to life, because life goes on, and nothing's going to stop in the world to let you get back on track.
Yes.
So it is a new normal. A new way of living and working things out that are going to work for you and your children.
And with the accent on normal, it is normal, people. We go through a grief process when we lose the loved one in our life, when we lose any loved ones. And that's normal. And the new normal, getting back adjusted from there, you know, and how you go about doing that. We're going to be talking about that right now with Dr. Olga. You have a story to tell from that point of view, a woman's or widow's guide to grief. But you also counsel people with grief, and you do that professionally. Now, you said at the beginning of the show, and I think everybody can understand this, it's a little bit different when you're in the driver's seat, so to speak, when it happens to you. You can't, it's not as easy to counsel yourself that way, to sit yourself down on that couch and give yourself whatever, you know, a therapeutic talk, and wow, you're over it. On the other hand, you have seen a lot of people who are grief-stricken. Do you counsel them in ways that maybe you counseled yourself, maybe some of the methodologies that you used when you lost your husband? Or is it always an individual thing where you do it kind of like on the spot with what you think somebody needs at that point? Or is it synergistic, a little bit of both?
Well, it's a bit of both. It depends on what the person needs. And plus, a lot of people who come to counselling, they think that they can't cope. They don't really know, you know, about the grief, about how it just goes on, and they think they may not be coping. And when you ask them, they're experiencing normal responses to grief. And once you provide them with some education about grief, the different responses you can have, the cognitive responses, the emotional reactions, and the physical responses, and that you tell them it's okay, and that those feelings are normal and thoughts are normal, given the circumstances, they're more accepting of it and do understand that they are actually being normal for them with their grief, and that there's no right or wrong. So we don't really want to pathologize people that there's something wrong with their grief, because everybody grieves differently, and that's something important in counseling that we do, to be able to understand their grief and to be able to validate what they're going through.
Now, I'm going to ask for generality here. And sometimes people say, well, you can't make generalities. Well, it's always on an individual basis. Well, if that were true, there would be nothing called demographics. And there wouldn't be a mass media that depends on demographics. There wouldn't be things that are bought and sold on the basis of generalities. There would be no insurance companies, and politics would be very much different, which is not a bad thing. But in general, let me ask you something that I know my listeners would want me to ask. Is it easier, generally, for a woman to go through the grieving process than a man, generally? What would you say about that?
No, it's not easier. It's a lot more difficult for people who are older. Uh-huh. And because they've been together for such a long time. Now, it's also because men tend to grieve differently to women. Women will be more emotional and talk about their feelings and display their feelings and be crying and that, while men tend to not display those sorts of like behaviors of crying. They will try and hold it all together. Mm-hmm. And also, but they're still feeling that intense pain. So they may describe their grief as saying, well, they were, you know, it hit me, it punched me in the stomach, it just, you know, stabbed me in the heart. But they will not show their feelings. And plus, a lot of them would want to be, men tend to want to, and women do too, but they would be saying sooner, oh, I wanted to do then this because that's what my wife loved, or my loved one loved to do this. I want to do this in honor of her. And so they're more grievers where they're not showing tears. They're not crying. And you know what? That could also be because that's what sort of may be expected of men. But at the same time now, women are tending to think, oh, they're not grieving properly because they're not crying in front of people as much. But really, they are. They're inside, they're crying inside and not showing it. Mm-hmm. It's just as painful for them.
Yeah, so sometimes the cathartic aspect of grief is to not hide it from yourself at the very least, to feel it, and maybe not hide it from some of the people closest to you, and maybe especially from the people who are co-grieving for that same individual loss. As in your case, you know, with your children, showing it right out straight. You even said that sometimes you cried in front of your children, and that can be a very healthy release, cathartic release. I'm going to ask you something else here that my listeners would be interested in, because most of my listeners are female. I have about 60% female, about 40% male. Are there any widows groups that you have known about, or maybe even you head up a widows group, or maybe you were involved in a widows group? Does that exist to any appreciable extent?
Well, I have a Facebook group, Dr. Olga's Widow's Guide to Grief. Mm-hmm. And in there, it's not a group for counseling. It is just support. It's the widows will raise things and support each other with it. I'll come into the group and go live in the group and have a chat to them about a different topic of what's going on for them and some sort of ways that they could, some strategies that they could use and normalize what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. We get it. And you can get it too. The New Normal, A Widow's Guide to Grief by our special guest here today, Dr. Olga Lavelle. And I'm saying Lavelle, it could be Lavelle. You never know. Which is it? Is it Lavelle or Lavelle?
It's Lavelle.
Lavelle. I'm a three-time loser. All right. Lavelle, the E is silent at the end. However you slice it, you got to order that. The New Normal, Widow's Guide to Grief. And you're hearing it here on People of Distinction with Al Cole. Order it at Amazon.com. We have some minutes left in this spotlight interview. We're coming to the end of it. And I want to take it out with some possibility thinking here. In terms of your directions, you wrote the book, The New Normal, A Widow's Guide to Grief. And I want to take it out in two ways, in a bifurcated way, you could say. What you are doing to enrich yourself more and more, having understood the grieving process, and how what you're doing on the other end as a therapist and reaching the heart and soul of others who you counsel to help them through their grieving process. So it's bifurcated. What you do into the future and what you will be doing into the future and what other people that you will be seeing professionally, how you devote some of your time to them to help them over the grieving process. Approach those two things with the light on the new normal here, Dr. Olga, and we'll take it out with that.
Okay, so one of the things is, and this is just some general advice that I give to my clients, and I would tell anyone, is that you need to understand that there are no stages to grief. There is no end point, and there is no right or wrong way to grieve. So you need to recognize your symptoms and understand and accept that they're normal, even though they're unpleasant, and allow yourself to grieve. And it's really, really important to ask for help from family and friends when you need the help. So don't just turn them away and think, I'll do everything myself, because you don't have to. There's no need to. But it's also important to look after yourself, both physically and emotionally. And when those special days come up, some significant events, so whether it's an anniversary, a celebration of a birthday, or maybe your loved one's birthday, you will feel anxious beforehand. Plan for that day. Include your children on what you will be doing on that day, so that it is something that you can develop some sort of a new tradition of what you can do on those days to incorporate your loved one. And if you're really not coping, that's okay. Just you need to seek some professional help.
Yes. And you know what? I'm going to cap it off with a couple of cents of my own here on People of Distinction, underscoring the great sense of our guest right now, Dr. Olga Lavelle. Is that a short A or a long A? Lavelle.
Lavelle. Short A, I think, yeah.
I had to ask again, Lavelle. Yeah, it's been tripping me all through. That's why I call you Dr. Olga. That's easy.
That's okay.
All right. Now, a couple of cents of my own from Al Cole right now. This is People of Distinction sense. You know, that loved one never really left you. And I'm not talking necessarily about that loved one is in a better place, although we do say that. Not necessarily saying where that loved one is. I'm talking about what preceded the death process. I'm talking about the life process. That person who you're grieving for was a part of your life. And being a part of your life, and especially if we're talking about a spouse right now, you shared, to some extent, consciousness with that person. And I said to some extent. We know that telepathy has never hit Earth big time, where we can read each other's minds all the time. But boy, you know, when you're with somebody who you really love, and you're having some great times together and maybe some not so great times together. You have a tempo of their thought patterns and you have a tempo for their feelings, particularly the feelings. And if they're a spouse, you can say, hey, honey, look, I know you're having a tough day. Or you can read them and say, oh, boy, you know, I know you're feeling good today. Tell me what happened here at the office or maybe at the beach or something. You know, hey, boy, you know, you look so happy. Share that with me. Get it, people? Sharing. A life of sharing with the people who you love and commiserating with them at the right times while you are alive together. Now, this is a big people of distinction message. You don't have to wait until that loved one is not with you anymore in order to learn how to grieve right, because you can celebrate death as well as you can celebrate life. And many people know that. They'll lose somebody at a certain point. Oh, it's never easy. No, of course there's still going to be a grieving process, but at the same time, that person still lives within you. All of the beautiful, you could say, memories, those memories become actual reality in your present life together. And you're saying, wow, thank you. Get it? Appreciation. Appreciation for having known love with that person in the beginning. See, Shakespeare had it right. Better to have loved than not to have loved at all. That's probably not the direct quote. But you know what I'm talking about. Love is never lost, people. And the grieving process, at its very best, and sometimes it seems, you know, a little bit ironic calling it at its very best, is a grieving process that honors life. Not death. Honors the life that we had together and still will have together. You're still influenced by that human being. And you can then, through that love, influence very positively the lives of other human beings because you knew what love was to begin with. Who's going to grieve for something that they don't love? So pack that one up under people of distinction, wisdom. With people of distinction, and our special guest here today, Dr. Olga, who is the author of this wonderful book, The New Normal, A Widow's Guide to Grief. I know you're going to like that book, and you can order it at Amazon.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Olga, for being my special guest here today on People of Distinction with Al Cole. It's really been my pleasure, and we wish you all the best with your book and with the directions of your life as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Yes, I liked it.